food off your to-do list.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Dr. Frank Salisbury joining us this week. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And we're exploring all the instances of high strangeness that are disclosed when you start talking to people. Now, one thing I've noticed here is the way belief systems have altered in the UFO field over the years, and maybe we can address this. So, for example, in the early years, and I'm talking about the modern UFO era starting in 1947 with the Kenneth Arnold UFO sighting, and maybe Roswell, maybe not, we can get into that. And then the prevailing belief in the early years was that UFOs were manifestations of ET. We have people like Dr. Salisbury and John Keel and Dr. Jacques Vallée suggesting there's a lot more going on there. But nowadays, you look at the UFO field and people are back in the ET rut. Why is it moving into that cycle? All the research that's been ongoing demonstrating it's a lot more complicated. Dr. Salisbury, why are so many people still stuck in ET land?
I could say you tell me, but I think a big chunk of it is ignorance. The people are unaware of these things that are making the rest of us wonder. And another big chunk of it is the media.
Yeah, cultural programming.
The media just, it's cartoons, and it's always the spaceship with somebody getting out and saying, take me to your leader, or some punchline, but always as though it were a little green man from some nearby star system in a spaceship.
They want to have something simple. You know, if it's a show business, show business has to be accessible, and having a strange mystery where they might be from other dimensions, it may be something that impinges on our conscious memories, maybe we alter the experience by the mere aspect of experiencing it. All this complicated stuff, people want black or white answers. They don't want the shades of gray.
I think that's about right. Well, and many, many people don't want to be involved. It's just there's things I don't want to be involved in because they're too time-consuming. They're interesting. I would like to be a specialist on medieval art or something like that, but I can't be a specialist in everything. And happens that I decided I would like to pursue the UFO mystery, but I think a lot of people are in that situation. It's something they're vaguely aware of, partly because of all these stupid cartoons. And a few stories that have been in the news, and not very many for long. Well, let's see, we do have the Air Force guys that just had their press conference and told about the missiles that were put out of effectiveness or whatever they up in Montana. And it went back 30 years or more, but at least we have had a little bit of publicity recently. But that was a nuts and bolts type thing again. There was a big UFO hovering over the central base. You probably know more about it than I do. But I did listen to their press conference.
Yeah, but it's, again, it's a knee-jerk reaction, I think, by most people that we are dealing with extraterrestrials from off planet. It's the most convenient and, in many people's eyes, the most logical explanation.
It lends itself to sound bites.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, instead of little green men, now it's little gray men. So we progressed in our color scenario a little bit here, at least.
Our perception of ET has become grayer over the years.
Yeah. I don't want to get into the abduction thing because I know so little about it, but that's a big part of the phenomenon. You mentioned the little gray men, and they're called grays, and they're the ones who show up in the bedroom in the middle of the night and haul the poor victim off onto the spaceship and then bring them back after they're through with them. But they're always the grays, and nearly always. And then they may be typical humans in other cases that are seen. And again, I, as far as I'm concerned, they could all be skinwalkers. That is, they could be manifestations that are produced, disguises by the whatever the intelligence is that's directing it. And I think that's one thing that's pretty clear. There's an intelligence directing it some way.
Tricksters.
Yeah.
There's definite element of trickery involved. I've always found it interesting that prior to Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, and with a few rare exceptions, primarily reports of diminutive grays with big almond-shaped eyes were the exclusive property of the United States. And I find it interesting over the last 25, 30 years that we now have grays being reported in all over the country. In the 60s and 50s in South America, you never hear reports of little grays. They're mostly hairy dwarves. In Russia, you have their own. They have their own sort of cultural sort of version of these beings. It seemed to be more of a subcultural interpretation until we get into a worldwide mass media scenario where you have rays reported all over the world, and I think that not enough work has been done, I think, sociologically, looking at that particular phenomenon.
You know, I wanted to ask you before we go on there, Dr. Salisbury, do you think maybe the phenomenon kind of alters itself to what our culture is like, or our culture just allows us to see something in a different way? We see it based on what our conditioning might be. So now we expect E.T. not to be blonde Venusians with silvery suits like, of course, Michael Rennie in the movie Day the Earth Stood Still from 1951. We expect gray aliens.
That's a great movie, incidentally.
It is. The remake sucked.
Yeah, well, you're basically saying what I might have said, and namely that there's at least two possibilities in this whole deal, And one is that it's the collective consciousness, the mind, that it's all psychological, and people expect to see grays, and so that's what they see. And, of course, the alternative is that the intelligence, whatever it is, the aliens, I never know what to call them.
The others.
The others. They they determine what we see, and they either alter their appearance or send in a different squadron or something. But Valet, of course, made that point very strongly back as early as the 60s. The common example is the spaceships of 1897, 98, I think, right in there. As I'm sure you know well, there were, a couple of hundred documented cases of people reporting these spaceships, and they basically fit the science fiction version of spaceships that was common at that time. And we now know that they wouldn't fly, and
I love the descriptions of the big clanking steam engine machines on the outside of the blimp-looking ships. And oftentimes they would be seen on the ground tinkering with them because they needed to be repaired. Some of those details are very fascinating.
Well, you know, ships, of course, had serious problems, especially in those days, you know, until they got the internal combustion engine. You know, that's it. Yeah. Now, of course, they use hybrid alien spaceships, you know about the hybrids, of course. You know, we have a Toyota Prius, they have an ET Prius, you know, because it was made with alien technology. I'm starting a whole mystique here, by the way.
Piloted by human alien hybrids.
That's right. Well, and then we get into the discussion we had before you joined us, Dr. Salisbury, about some people who believe there are human alien hybrids and that ET may be coming here to see a new race because their race is dying. They basically don't have fertility issues anymore. The women or females of their species don't give birth, so they have to, you know, mate with the daughters of men. And we're going into a very wide-ranging picture here. Dr. Frank Salisbury is our guest this week. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. November 12, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $13.8820. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14.2412, $7.1206 for a half ounce, or $3.5603 for a quarter ounce. That's $14.2412, $7.1206, or $3.5603.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crisis document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Dr. Frank Salisbury joining us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the Paracast. Okay, so let's look at that one aspect that, of course, may explain why maybe governments are afraid to reveal what's going on. The impact, of course, to global society, to the various industries, energy industry, if it was a physical phenomenon, but also to world religions. And as a religious man yourself, how do you reconcile your beliefs with the presence of some other kind of species, even if it's from another dimension?
Well, that's another tough question, of course. And I've worried about it, thought about it a lot. That was one of the main reasons that I decided I had to back out, because I was thinking of conventional explanations based on our theology, our LDS theology. And that involved the city of Enoch and the 10 tribes that may have been taken from the earth and might be coming back. And it bothered me that I was tending toward those thoughts. As I've got back into the field, I can't avoid the religious things, but I don't have to pin it down to our specific theology anymore. Actually, the experiences that people have been having that indicate another dimension or a parallel universe or whatever the heck you call it, and I don't know what you call it for sure. I mean, you can call it something, but I don't know what it is. But for a long time, many religions have talked about nearby entities, which they called angels or demons or whatever, and the resurrected Christ, according to the book of John, appeared in a locked room, even though he had a tangible body that he asked the disciples to come and feel and check out to see that he really was tangible. And all those things kind of relate to the UFO phenomenon, but there could be an evil side to it, too. And, of course, we've talked about Satan and the devil and demons and such, and some people have used that as the answer to the UFO enigma. But I see it as partly as an answer to this idea of there is another parallel universe. The Russian astronaut went up there and said, there isn't any heaven. I was up there and I didn't see it. Well, we don't see it, but that doesn't mean that it isn't there. It's been there traditionally for millennia. And now the kind of events that are being described to me support the existence of another parallel universe, if that's what you want to call it. Up until I got worrying about these things scientifically and from the standpoint of UFOs, I might have called it heaven or paradise or something like that.
Well, then conversely, you also have, for instance, the Islamic tradition, which talks about the jinn. And they have an amazing variety of types of different types of jinn. I think there's 12 different varieties. And they have a whole social structure. They have a lifespan. They have communities. I find it interesting as you go around the world and look at other cultural interpretations of the unexplained. There's an interesting cultural bias and even a subcultural bias that does tend to have some sort of underlying thread of commonality. And that commonality is that these beings have the ability to shapeshift. They have the ability to disappear and appear at will. They have the ability to influence human behavior. These are all elements that I think the nuts and bolts crowd tend to gloss over and forget and put the blinders on and, you know, really go with their own subcultural programming that they've been front-loaded with. What do you think about that?
Sure. I think that's kind of an obvious thing. A question that surely should come up. If there are all these manifestations, contactees and so on, we used to call them, apparently the term was dropped out of use a bit, I'm informed. What do a couple of religious guys like Junior Hicks and me, what do we make of all that? Are we believing in a God in heaven and so on that doesn't exist but is part of the UFO manifestation? And that's an important question to us. And Mike, and you just have to kind of look at the fruits. We see a very positive kind of a theology that has developed, and since the organization of the church in 1830. It satisfies us and it makes sense, and that has aspects of it that are deeply spiritual. And so that's where we end up. But it's surely a problem. If you're honest, you have to admit that there's a big question as to what is valid and what isn't. I think there's a tremendous amount of paranormal experience out there that is generated to deceive us. And but I have to conclude that at this point that the religion I pursue is not part of it.
Well, Moroni, and the appearance to John Smith in upstate New York in some ways could be interpreted as a potential visitation by some sort of other life form, like an alien contactee would describe 100 years later.
Right.
What is the thinking within the church about the actual possibility that the whole LDS movement was started by some sort of potential other interaction with, you know, a treasure hunter in upstate New York?
Well, I don't think the church.
The church probably wouldn't like that.
I'm not sure they're deeply aware of it. I'm aware of it because Jacques Vallée brings it up, and John Keel brought it up. And like I say, that's a question. I've studied, well, I've read a very detailed life of Joseph Smith that came out a few years ago by a Columbia historian, Richard L. Bushman. And he's now at in Pomona at the Claremont Graduate School. And it's a very scholarly thing, and there's many more details to the picture than, well, people like Jacques Vallée and John Keel are aware of. And it isn't a simple thing. That Joseph had his shortcomings, but he produced an incredibly complex body of information, knowledge, whatever you call it. The Book of Mormon itself has been studied in intricate detail, mostly by LDS, who are defending it. We're a little bit troubled by the fact that the debunkers haven't looked at it closely enough. And it seems to hold up pretty well.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this and the religious implications in a moment. We have Dr. Frank Salisbury, the co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times.
What is it?
It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have just two more sessions with Dr. Frank Salisbury. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So your position is, Dr. Salisbury, that your religious beliefs are not contraindicated by what's happening.
It's a question that you have to wonder about, but I hang in there with the religious beliefs. They still make sense to me. They influence my life in positive ways, and so that's where I stand. But I'm sure aware of the questions that they bring up, that the phenomenon of today brings up. And I guess that's not surprising. That the basic philosophy that we pursue is that we Mormons, we LDS, is that there's good and evil out there, and the evil will do all it can to deceive us and take us away from the kind of life that would ultimately be best for us. So that's how we live with a lot of it. We also have one scripture in the Book of Mormon that has appealed to me for many years now, and that says that the Lord gives to all nations what he sees fit, and what can be best for them at the time, and so on. And I mention that because that would explain the variety of Buddhism and Mohammedism and Judaism and Christianity and so on. And of course we believe that much of Christianity went astray during the Middle Ages. I wouldn't try to defend all of Christianity by any means, but I would defend the fundamental revelatory foundation upon which it is built. Man, how's that?
That was pretty succinct. You want to pick up on that one, Gene?
No, I was going to let you follow through with that.
Well, again, I really have a sense that, you know, belief is an intensely personal thing. I think when you collect together believers that you tend to have a perfect scenario, as, you know, Jacques Vallée very insightfully pointed out in Messengers of Deception. You have a perfect formula for control, societal control. Organized religion, obviously, could potentially be used as a very effective societal control mechanism. I also think that the idea of extraterrestrials or others visiting us and manipulating us for purposes as yet undetermined can also be used as a control mechanism. And that brings up the whole subject of the government. I've heard rumors that the government is very interested in potentially in purchasing the ranch from Robert Bigelow up in the Uinta Basin. Have you heard anything about that? And have you looked into the role of the government in the Uinta Basin?
I have not, in any kind of detail. Junior, my collaborator, Junior Hicks, would probably be intrigued by that idea. I think he probably holds to that idea. That
well, we're going to have Junior on the show.
you need to have him. He's a good guy. We don't agree on everything, but basically he's a good guy, and we do agree on the overall picture. We have this one case that came up just as I was writing the last version to the manuscript, in which this guy comes out at 5 in the morning from his place there where he's working on a night shift up by the Bottle Hollow Reservoir, and he sees this UFO coming by, and behind it are two Black Hawk helicopters pursuing it, and the UFO dives into the reservoir, and the helicopters circle for a while and then take off, and after they take off, the UFO comes up out of the water and goes off in some other direction. I don't know what to make of the story, because it's a single witness. He's happy to let us use his name. We interviewed him a couple of weeks ago again. I did, along with Jacques Vallée and Junior. Before that, he had told the story only to Junior. I've got it on page 149 or something in our book. If it has any semblance of truth, it shows that the government is very, very closely involved, because these two Blackhawks were pursuing the UFO.
Now, is this how recent of an event is this?
That was a couple days before Thanksgiving, the last Thanksgiving, so it's just a little less than a year old.
Yeah, because there was a lot of activity going on November through February, if my sources up there are correct. There's a lot of stuff going on in that area.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Of course, another investigator who's had a long-time interest in the case there, Ryan Layton, has documented quite a number of cases of unmarked, what appear to be unmarked convoys of government-type vehicles seen zipping around the area up there. Unusual vehicular traffic, unusual aerial traffic that on the surface has the appearance of apparent government interest in the area there. But have you heard any rumors of the government being interested in actually acquiring the ranch?
No, I haven't. This is the first time I've heard of that. It's most interesting.
Yeah, that's something to keep your ears open about, although I'm sure it'd be tough to wrestle it away from Bigelow, with his long-standing interest there.
Well, two words, eminent domain.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Yeah. Or, like they say in The Godfather, I made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Right.
Kind of hard to find the price.
Well, it might be a little difficult to prove eminent domain. But who knows? The government's pretty powerful when it wants to be.
Right. Now, the underground scenario is something that we touched on briefly a while back here. What sort of rumblings have you heard, pardon the pun, concerning underground scenarios that may be somehow involved there? You know, of course, we do have at the south end of the basin, towards the border area, Baxter Pass area there with Colorado, we have quite a gas and oil field, lots of drilling going on. Have you come across any, I guess, tantalizing evidence that would suggest that we are dealing with something underground?
I haven't. Junior would defend that. I've heard him defend it directly and positively. He thinks that there's some kind of underground activity on the ranch. I have just one little point to contribute. The Skinwalker book says that when the ranch was bought from the Myers, there was a clause that said no digging. Well, Garth Myers chuckles when I say that, and he says, well, there was a clause that says if you dig for oil, you have to inform the previous owners, and that's a common clause when a ranch is sold in the Uinta Basin, because oil is so important. So take that for what you want. I definitely have the feeling that I want to say Kelleher and Knapp, but I don't know who to blame. But,
I'll tell you what, we might have to bring George Knapp back on the show. He's been on a couple of times. And maybe we should present this entire scenario to him and get some kind of comments from him about what's going on. We're going to have one more segment with Dr. Frank Stylesbury. And he's a longtime UFO investigator, and he's still at it. You know, he's still alert, bright, and pursuing answers, hoping they'll lead somewhere. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
In our final segment, Dr. Frank Salisbury joins us for a rare radio appearance. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I have to thank Chris for finding Dr. Salisbury and setting him up for the show this week. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. We have maybe another 10, 11 minutes left, Dr. Salisbury, so maybe I wanted to go to the focus. Governments around the world are releasing UFO sightings. We don't see that kind of activity in the U.S., but do you think the government knows about the complexity of the UFO mystery, or are they just mystified?
I resisted for a long time the idea that the government knows about the complexity, but it seems like we're just pushed more and more and more in that direction. And I would say that I believe, which is a matter of faith without knowing, that indeed the government, some part of the government, knows a whole lot about it. How could they help it? So many books have been written. Do they just ignore them all? Hynek thought that the people at Blue Book were just stupid. just ignoring things because they figured, oh, there can't be any such thing. And so they just wrote it off without knowing anything about it. And I worked very closely with NASA for 30 years, 31, no more than that, 35 or so. I started in Colorado and continued with NASA grants and contacts until I retired in 1997. And like I mentioned earlier, I gave talks to NASA groups and they enjoyed them and didn't make fun of me, and as I talked about UFOs, and I even went so far as to say, would you fund the grant if I came up with a good proposal? And they said, well, we'd take a good look. Old Dick Young, I remember saying that. But on the other hand, the NASA biology division was not necessarily very close to whoever might be investigating UFOs, and so I don't have any direct knowledge. But I did get the impression that whatever the negative outlook was, it was mostly based on ignorance. They didn't know the facts, and so they wrote it all off. And there are skeptics out there now. Of course, I subscribe to the Skeptical Inquirer. And it's kind of interesting to see how they investigate some old sighting and explain it and write it off, just like good old Philip Glass did for so many years.
Okay, so therefore, let's get to the case here, the long and short of it, because we only have a few moments left. Okay, so you don't think the government's in touch with E.T. or them, whoever they might be, that they're maybe hiding something secret like the wreckage from Roswell? You don't believe any of that?
I will avoid the word belief. I just don't know. It's possible. It's certainly possible, but I don't have enough information to make a solid conclusion about it. I think my gut feeling is that it's not true. Having wreckages from saucers and so on, I don't know. But that's a gut feeling. I don't know. Bob Lazar, I guess, is the guy that told us about the saucers down under Area 51. And he's probably been on your program several times.
No, he hasn't, actually. We've never invited him on. We've thought about it. But I thought, you know, maybe if we are going to have him on, we'll have him on with George Knapp, because George Knapp knows him. And we can focus on this. But, you know, people have disputed whether he worked for the government at all. And
that's right.
The only thing I've seen, if I recall this, is maybe a W-2 that says he earned like a very small amount of money, like you would earn if you work for the government for 4 hours or something.
Yeah.
There's no real indication that anything he says is really true, although George Knapp believes it.
Yeah. Well, what I heard also was that he said he had degrees from MIT and Caltech, and that's something you can research, and it turns out to not be true. I think his credibility is very much in question, and if we accept it, our credulity is at a high rate, a high level. I don't know. I'm very skeptical of his stories. We know that Area 51 is for real. I have a neighbor who spent 20 years as a aerial traffic controller out at the Salt Lake Airport, and he told me how they were informed that no plane should get near the area. And we all know that the U-2 and a couple of things were indeed developed there, but the idea that they're underground labs with bodies of extraterrestrials and so on, that's pretty tough for me to grab. I can't disprove it, but I just don't believe it. How's that?
Well, maybe Area 51 is simply a place used as a staging ground to test secret military aircraft. It has nothing to do with E.T., has nothing to do with strange phenomena of any kind.
Well, that's would be the way I feel about it.
But okay, like so all the people who are begging for disclosure, there's nothing to disclose then, right?
Oh, I think there's a lot that could be disclosed, but I don't think it's crashed saucers and such. I think it's a different attitude toward cases that have been reported and studied by the government.
Well, does the government, at least in the U.S., even investigate the things anymore?
I don't know, but I think it's very possible. I have one little story. An ex-secretary technician that I had was married to a man who worked for the Air Force during the 50s and who was very secretive and would not tell her what he was doing, and took many trips to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and got so upset that he had nervous breakdowns and became alcoholic and led to divorce. And that, you know, I put so much faith in her because I know her and liked her, and she was a great lady, that the story is kind of credible to me, and it doesn't prove anything, but the obvious conclusion is he was working on this UFO business in the 1950s. I mean, that's the obvious implication. I shouldn't say conclusion. I don't know what the conclusion is. How are we doing?
We're doing just fine. We're almost done, so we're going to have to let you leave the building with Elvis very soon. Now, you're still active in UFO research after all these years. The book then is a new edition of out, by the way. It's called The Utah UFO Display, A Scientist's Report. Do you have a website or something where our listeners can check you out?
Yeah, I do have a website, and it's called It's called UtahUFODisplay.com. My son set it up.
All right. He's even web savvy. That's great.
Here's the introduction, a sample part of the book. Gives you a lot of information about the Utah UFO display and Dr. Frank Salisbury's ongoing research. Do you have any lectures or public appearances we can check out?
No. I kind of wish I did. It helps sell the book.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. We hope that we can sell a few books for you. We're happy to do it. And what we're going to do is when people see your name on theparacast.com and when they click on your name, they will go right to UtahUFODisplay.com so they can check more information, check your blog, and maybe get in touch with you if they have more things to check out. Chris O'Brien, tell us in 10,000 words or less what you're up to these days and where they can find more of the things that you do.
Yeah, well, I do have a website as well. It's OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet. It's Our Strange Planet.
It is indeed.
Pretty much my entire database is there, and you can get all sorts of DVDs and books and goodies about my work there.
We'll have to look forward to that. He's also, by the way, a moderator.
Yeah.
In the Paracast forums, and he takes all the guff. Him and Angelo and Ron take all the guff from our members and our listeners. A special thank you always for Chris O'Brien for arranging great guests for the show. Dr. Frank Salisbury, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.